brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, many of you have probably heard of St. Augustine of Hippo. St. Augustine of Hippo was a great pastor, bishop, whatever, in the faith. And in fact, we dedicate a day in October just to celebrating him. One time we were going through his Cities of God, okay? We're reading through that. But he wasn't always the great man of faith. He was raised by his mom, the Christian faith, and when he got young, he decided he wanted to go after the pleasures of the world. And he ran here and there, and he kind of forgot about his Christian faith. And he even had a child by someone who wasn't his wife. Well, you know, the Lord has a way of working. And God called him back because God had chosen him for a great task. And God called him back, and so he called back, and he was with, and I never remember the word, it was Ambrose, St. Ambrose, who called back and baptized him into the Christian faith, and therefore he rejoiced, and he sung, he broke out in song. And he and Ambrose then wrote the song that we call the Te Deum. It's one of the greatest songs in the history of Christendom. We don't sing it very often, but it's the one that goes like, we praise thee, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all heaven and angels cry aloud and all the powers therein. To you the cherubim and seraphim continually do cry. That's his hymn. He and Ambrose wrote that. And it's in our hymnal, by the way. You could look it up. It's in the front of the hymnal. And maybe one of these days the choir will sing that. But what happened? He sees Jesus and the reconciliation that Jesus gave him, and he bursts out in song, because that's what we do. When we find something that is so exciting, we want to burst out, we want to sing and lift up our voices to God, because he has reconciled us by the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What could we do when the God, creator of heaven and earth, says, I love you, I have called you to be mine? We burst out in song. Now, that's what's going on in Isaiah, by the way. See, Isaiah is talking to people who have done the same thing that St. Augustine did. They have run after other things. You know, the pleasures of the world and those things that Jesus warns us about. And looking for the best advantage. And they kind of forgot about God. Well, the problem with forgetting about God is when we forget about God, then God withholds his blessings. As God withholds his blessings, bad things tend to start happening. Because God kind of builds an umbrella of protection around us. And doesn't protect us from everything because we live in a broken and sinful world. Sin is always going to be with us. Disease is always going to be with us. Problems are going to be with us. We can minimize those or maximize them. And so Israel found themselves in a place because of what they had done that they were not getting the hedge of protection, the umbrella of the protection of God, and things started happening. And yet, out of all that, Isaiah comes to him and says, God will forgive your sins. Return to the Lord. And as Israel returned to God, Isaiah breaks out in song. That's right, our text in the Bible here. In Hebrew, it's actually a song. It's a poetry form. I don't know how much it really works that way in English, but it's a song. And he breaks out. Why? Why shouldn't you break out and sing forth in song? For God has reconciled you. So he tells Israel, look, you have been reconciled. God will provide on that day, it says. Pointing to our Savior, Jesus Christ. God will forgive your sins and remember them no more. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will keep you in his arms. And that's the promise that they bring out in jubilant song, because they know God loves them. Christians frequently forget that they belong to God. We do the same thing here. We go off into many different areas, seeking the pleasures of the world. Let's face it, people. Come on. You know, as we go out there, we're just as prone to the pressures of the world, you know, birds of a feather flock together, that cliquishness that the world has, and we kind of want to fit in. And then we're tempted to forget about God in our life. We get busy with the day in and the day out, and we kind of step back. And we forget sometimes the song in our heart, the song that we sing, the joy, that peace that passes understanding, that will never go away. And yes, we may be down in the valley or up on the mountaintop, but that song should always, in every case, be with us. Because where the Israel lived in the messianic promise, we live in the messianic age. Jesus has come. We know his name. We know who he is and the promises that he gave to us. And Jesus, I will not leave you forsaken. So Jesus is there, and he sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to live in our hearts and our minds, and to bless us with that strong faith, that full hope, that deep love. What else could we do but break out in song and sing? Isn't that why we sing here? We come to the church because we want to raise our voices. We want to experience the joy and the peace that's in our heart, and we want to share that with others. And we want to express that joy. Maybe the world doesn't appreciate what we do. You know, it's interesting because that joy doesn't come because we're perfect or we're great or we're wonderful. Remember the kids? 2 + 2 = 5. What are the teachers saying? Oh, Johnny, that's good. Very good. You're really smart. None of us would say, oh, that was right, but we know teachers have done that. Why? Because the pressure in our society to say how wonderful you are, how great you are, all the time, thinking that really builds people up. And if you're going to be honest, we do the same thing. We want praise, we want praise, we want praise. And we forget that Christianity is not praising ourselves. It's not singing about how great I am. It's singing about how wonderful God is. Joy that God has given to us, that we sing with the kids, you know, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, I got the blessed leaf that baffles Buddha, I've got the joy down in my heart. That's the expression, and that comes because I have a Savior, not because I'm so wonderful. God has reconciled us. Reconciled means to make friends with somebody who was once an enemy. So God has reconciled us, brought us to him, by his grace, by Jesus Christ suffering and dying on the cross. Why is it that that passage is so popular? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because it shows it's not because of me, it's because of God. I am joyful not because of me, but because of Christ Jesus and what he did for me. I am saved. I am reconciled to Christ Jesus. And when I'm reconciled, I have a joy, whether I sing it or not, and singing every day. Can you play the video, please?
I would have set Jesus on fire instead of crucifying him.
Why?
Well, he's a witch.
So you said ever since you started worshiping Satan, your life has been bad.
Yeah, it actually has been better for me.
Yeah, I believe it, like in the physical. I believe that Satan would give me things that I want, you know, and there's a lot of things that I want. There's been times that I've prayed to God and asked God for things that I wanted, but that's not what I needed. And I feel like as a Christian, when I ask Jesus for stuff and I pray, Jesus protects me from certain stuff because he knows what would harm me and steer me away from him. And so I believe like it makes total sense that by worshiping Satan, your life feels better, and it feels better in the natural, right, in this life. But to me, I was tormented by mental struggles and mental health issues, and not having hope for myself, Jesus gave me that hope. Would it be okay if I prayed for you?
If you want to, go ahead.
I would love to. It would mean the world. Can I take your hand and pray for you? Would that be okay? Can I put my hand on?
My hands are dirty because I never wash them and stuff.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I'll totally hold your hand. Oh. All right, Jesus, thank you for Chad. God, I pray right now that you will bring people to reveal yourself to him, and they will be the heart of Jesus, and that they will show him who you really are. Jesus, reveal yourself to him in dreams and visions. God, we thank you for Chad. Bless him. Bless him as he studies to become a doctor at UCLA. Jesus, we thank you for Chad, and we thank you that you allowed us to meet him. In Jesus' name, amen.
First of all, did you know the guy in the goth, how he's kind of like this? You could tell that he never had anybody express to him that how much he could be loved. But the guy who is talking to him, oh, by the way, Were you surprised that that guy in the goth is going to be a doctor?
Yeah.
But the guy who's preaching to him, did you listen carefully what he said? He was once just like the prodigal son. Yeah. He was off doing his own thing, and Jesus brought him back. And now with that joy in his heart, he's out and he's sharing that. How many of you would walk up to that man and offer to pray with him? And yet, he didn't see a man in goth. He saw someone who's loved by God, who needs love and care. And so that joy in his heart pushed him forward to celebrate with him and to pray for someone. And I don't know what happened after here. I looked, there's no follow-up on that. But my guess is what? Down the road, that was sticking with him. So he cared enough to pray, to share the joy that they have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had a song in his heart, and he shared it. So Jesus reminds us that Chad, the man who's preaching, I don't know his name, and us, we actually belong to God, don't we? We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And as we realize that we belong to God, God reminds us always to be fed, to take in the message of Christ for our life, and to rejoice in that word, to rejoice in God, our Savior. We're almost halfway through Lent. And Lent is focusing on following Jesus to the cross. And why do you think we call it Good Friday? It's kind of a horrible day. It's Good Friday because our sins were nailed to that cross, just like our victory. It's Good Friday because Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. It's Good Friday because God loved us that much. Of course, he didn't stay there. He had the power to put it down. He had the power to raise it up. Jesus and Christianity is the only religion with an empty tomb. What more do we need to praise God with? What more do we want to sing and proclaim what God has done for us joyfully every day, every hour, every minute? Maybe that's why we like to sing the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come." Yes, we broke forth in song. We are reconciled. We join Augustine in his joyous song, and we sing no matter where we are, with our whole life, with our whole body, with our whole might, with our whole heart, we sing to God. So sing out. Sing out as you are worshiping here. Sing out as you go home. Sing out in every time, in every place. If you're on the mountaintop, sing as high as you can and sing to God because he is so wonderful to us. And when you're in the depths of the valley of the shadow of death, sing out because God says, "I am with you." So no matter where we are or who we are or how we are, we have been reconciled to God. We join the believers in Christ, whether it's the Messiah or Christ. We believe in them, with them for all eternity. Heaven is ours. It's a gift. I'm trying to play daddy. Sing out. Amen.